Remember, God is a God of variety. God is a God of, you know, he's got so many complex things about him that if we all get together and all do the same thing all the time, we're not going to see a very big picture of God. So some people may be really strong in the area of healing and believing, you know, that God wants everybody healed. Somebody over here might feel, well, you know, I do believe in healing, but I'm not sure that God wants all his Christians healed. Maybe I'm not sure about that. And, you know, we can live within the context of family, knowing that we believe a little bit differently. Somebody might believe really strong on tongues. I mean, I'm a big believer in that. And, you know, Debbie and I have talked about that a lot. We are really major believers in praying in other tongues. We really believe that there's something released when you pray in other tongues. And I'll teach that as well. But if you don't, that's okay. I mean, for me, I would feel kind of left out a little bit. But if you're comfortable with that, my point is here, I believe that God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to speak in other tongues. He wants us to move in the miraculous power of God. He wants us to walk in the ability to raise the dead. He wants us to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in every area. He wants us to be totally conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, I don't have all that. I don't. So should I feel less than? Well, if you don't have some of the things that I talked about, should you feel less than? No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. We're all on this journey together. We're all going on a journey together, and God wants us to flow together, but be individuals together. He wants us to walk in love. He wants us to be kind and honor one another. Honor one another, and if somebody says they believe a certain way, be careful. Don't trash them. Don't automatically think that they're totally wrong. Maybe we need to make some adjustments sometime too. But I'm convinced as the Holy Spirit teaches us, He will lead us into all truth. If we will keep our faith in the right place and keep our confidence in the right person, the Holy Spirit, He will lead us into all truth. He'll bring us the direction that we need. And there's no need to getting upset when we don't believe a certain way. Now, I remember years ago, I remember talking to this young man who was well, actually, I say he's a young man. He was older than me at the time. He still is, I guess. Now, he and I believed differently about faith, for instance. I was quite comfortable, but he was so annoyed because he couldn't bring me around to believe in the way he did. He was upset because I was believing something different than him. And I would say, listen, man, it doesn't matter. You can, if you're happy with the way you believe, that's fine, great, wonderful. It's okay. But he wasn't. Because he had an issue of insecurity. He was in a place of feeling insecure if I didn't agree with his faith. We can't force people to come along with us. God is done of that business, forcing people, even trying to make people feel guilty. You know, churches of the past, there was a certain display of guilt put upon people if they didn't attend and so forth. I believe it's going to change in the days ahead. Okay, let's move on from that a little bit. Let's talk about what happened for a minute in the 60s. Now, the 60s I can remember. Some of you can't remember. Some of you weren't around. Thank God some of you weren't around. In the 60s, I believe there was a spirit of rebellion that was released across, especially North America. There was tremendous rebellion. It was defying authority of any kind. I guess I don't remember doing a lot, but I probably did I was into it like everybody else. You know, it referred to police officers as pigs. And that was just a common phrase. I mean, before that, I mean, the police officers were held in high honor. And there was a lot of honor around that. But after that, something happened in the 60s that really shifted things completely. And people started defying authority. That happened in the world first, but it got over into the church. A lot of people started defying authority in the church as well. Now, God causes all things to work together for good. And even in the midst of that rebellion that came, God used it to break some things in the church. Because in the church at that time as well, and I know it was maybe not put in these words so much, but certainly in other denominations, but certainly in Catholicism, if you weren't in church on Sunday morning, there was a time, man, that was a mortal sin. I mean, you were going to hell, that's right. If you didn't pay attention, you weren't there. So the people attended out of fear or guilt that was put on them by the majority of people. I'm sure a type of that happened in Protestant churches as well. I mean, back then, everybody went to church. But today, God used that shift because he wants the people to come now to him out of relationship. He wants people to come to him out of wanting to be with him and wanting to be a part of what he's doing and a part of the kingdom, and coming and gathering together with one another reflects his kingdom. He's using his church to demonstrate the kingdom to the world. And so we come now because we desire to. We desire to. When I share with you about, you know, I believe that we should make a tradition, if you will, of being in church on Sunday morning. And I certainly don't believe you're going to hell if you weren't there. If you don't come to church on Sunday morning, like it was spoken in the past, you have liberty. We're in a period of grace. You have liberty. But what I will say, I do believe that it's beneficial for a family to have certain godly traditions within their lives that will pay off in the long run. Because if you have a tradition where you're in church on Sunday morning and you make every effort to be there, if you will do that, you will become a more effective witness. And I'll tell you one of the ways that you can become a more effective witness by being diligent in coming to church on Sunday morning. If you want to grow in witnessing, if you want to grow in being a person who will show Christ to others, is that even when people come into your home and they're there for the weekend, come Sunday morning, they ought to know that you're in church on Sunday morning. See, well, you know, oh, we go to church on Sunday morning. We invite you to come with us. Come on with us in church, to church on Sunday morning. That was certainly the thing that I thought of when I got saved. But I'm finding the other way around now. People use an excuse to stay home. I don't understand that. I really don't. I'm not, as I say, I don't think God's going to snarl at you for doing that. But I just don't. I don't understand why you wouldn't use that in order to invite people. I mean, when people are in your home. You know, that saying can go, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans. Well, if I go to visit somebody and they're going to church on Sunday morning, I better not be a person who's going to disrupt what's important to their lives. Or is it really that important? You see, if I go to Robert's and I stay at his home over the weekend, and I know he's a churchgoer, I know your brother, in Ontario all the time, he knows that you're a man of God. So when it comes to Sunday morning, that's what he would expect him to do. Well, how important is it for him to go on Sunday morning? Well, if he doesn't go, maybe his brother would think, well, that's not that big a deal. Whoa, I better get off something else. Whoa. Make sure I bring I'll tell you one thing that's going to change, people. The church of tomorrow is not going to be afraid to witness. They're not going to be afraid to stand up and say, listen, I'm a child of the living God, and I know where God's people are meeting today, and that's where I'm going to be. And if you're in my home, you want to come with me, great. If not, find something else to do. Yeah. Well, I'm gone. But I know, you know, God is a God who wants his family to be together. Amen. Wants his family to come together. But, and it's not done out of a guilt trip. It isn't. But hopefully when I say this, it's a time to stop and do what those little sayings are in Psalms, where it says, Selah means stop, think, meditate. Meditate on it. Think about it. Use it as an opportunity to witness for Jesus. Now, in the past, churches began to get together for a cause. There would be churches who would come together for a cause, and they might make it look real pretty and might say, you know, we're going to get together because we've got the truth. And this other church over here, it has kind of gone off a little bit, but really we're the ones who've got it. You know, that's how most old denominations got started. They split off because we know it a bit better. We know it a little bit better. That's the excuse they use. But really, it's really because you dishonored me. Because you said something and now I'm mad at you. This side is mad at this side because this side wanted a purple carpet and this side wanted green. That's the real reason why most churches split. A lot of times it's not doctrinal issues at all. It's not that at all. But the church of tomorrow is going to lay all that down. The church of tomorrow is going to say, I want to come together because I want relationship. Relationship is more important than being right. Amen. I may be able to know in my own heart that I'm right about certain areas, but my relationship is more important to me than my wanting to get my rightness over to you. If you believe differently, that's okay. Listen to this. Dr. Peter Wagner, in his commentary on the book of Acts, wrote this. Church growth leaders insist that the most complete understanding of what evangelism really is involves around two commitments. The first commitment is the commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's pretty obvious. You can't get somebody saved unless they're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said the second, a most important commitment is a commitment to the body of Christ, commitment to the church. You can't have one without the other. You not be a healthy Christian. You can't be totally committed to Christ and treat the church haphazardly. It can't happen, folks. If your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ is directly related to your commitment to the body, to one another. How much honor do you show one another? You'll show the same honor to Jesus. That commitment must be there because Christianity is a society of relationships intermingled and tied together. Christianity is a society, just to use that term, where people are able to sit down with one another and enjoy the Christ that is in the other person. Have a witness that you enjoy the other person who is sitting next to you because they are a believer as well. Christianity is all about relationship. And to the degree that we honor one another in relationship is the degree our relationship grows with Christ. I'm absolutely convinced of this. If people who claim to be Christians and are not committed to a local body, they are in a place where the enemy, they're open to the enemy to be able to do things in their lives that they don't want done. I'm convinced of it. There's no such thing as a solitary Lone Ranger Christian that is a healthy Christian. I believe that's got to be said more and more and more for people to realize you can't go about and get, niffed at somebody and leave church and think you're all right. There has to be that commitment. The church of tomorrow is going to be able to live with one another, love one another, and be able to forgive one another and look forward to enjoying one another's company. Now, I'm convinced that's one of the reasons why the Lord had us build this building out back here. So God is going to use that to be able to knit us together like never before. He's going to use that to create an environment where the Holy Spirit is allowed to move. Now, another thing I believe that the church of tomorrow is going to be a church of miracles. It's going to be, when you look at some of the churches that are growing the fastest today, by far, and we have to go beyond North America to look at those. The churches in China, churches in Argentina, the churches in Asia, these churches are growing tremendously, and it's happening a lot with miracle signs and wonders. Some of the Chinese leaders will say today, said, we thank God for the truth of the word that has come to us from North America. But he said, there has to be more than the truth of the word. There has to be the miraculous as well. And so their form of evangelism is moving in the miraculous as well. We've got to get to a place where we're not only praying for the sick, but we're seeing them healed in a never-increasing way. The church of tomorrow, the church of tomorrow that is growing, is going to have these things happening to them. Now the question is, are we willing to pay the price to be a part of the church tomorrow? To be a part of the church that is growing, that is influential, tomorrow? Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to do the things that would cause us to be sensitive to the realm of the Spirit, to the things of God? We have to ask ourselves this. And for some of us, it is going to be absolutely crucial, because our families will either make it or not based on what we do, based on how we prepare ourselves to be the church of tomorrow. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. We have to be willing to prepare ourselves. And will it cost? Yes, it will cost. It certainly will cost. For some of us, it will cost, it won't, you know, the price on it really won't be that high when you think about it. It'll be simple, but for some of us, it'll be difficult to turn that television off sometimes. And that does two things. One, it stops us from getting things into our mind that will cause us to be insensitive to the Spirit of God. Two, it will give us more time to pray or seek God or fast or visit and fellowship with one another. But there is a cost. There is a cost. And if we are willing to take the cost, pay the price, then things will happen. The church is changing, folks, and if we don't see it, it'll change before our eyes and we're going to miss the whole thing. I've said this before, there can be a move of the Spirit of God take place, and we can be smack dab in the middle of it and miss the whole thing. We don't have our eyes opened. But the church is changing, and you'll notice something, that there's some people, new people, who come into church, and there's some things that they see that they really value. You and I have to be very careful but that we don't cause them to lose their zeal in that particular area. One of the things I've heard this week, someone wanted so much to be a part of the cleaning day of our church here that they really went to, I thought, quite an extreme, because they said they really wanted to be a part of the church, the cleaning day, because when they're growing up, they didn't have anything to do with the church at all. And that was like they were recognizing there was such a shift that the Spirit of God made in their lives that they just wanted to be a part of honoring and being a part that day cleaning the church. You see, that's a new attitude, a different attitude that's going to be coming into the church in a new way. They're going to begin to, the people who are coming are going to begin to see the church in a whole new different dynamic than you, what you and I have been brought up with. And we have to embrace that. We have to make a room for that to be released amongst the body, to be able to embrace the church of tomorrow, what God's doing. As we do, as we begin to show honor for God's people and coming together and as we assemble ourselves together, I'm convinced that God will be the one who will supply the miraculous working power to do what you and I can't do. But if we don't honor one another and show one another love and joy and peace and so forth, then the miraculous won't come. You see, God says, if you won't do what you can do, why would you expect me to do what only I can do? Does that make sense? You know, if you were God, wouldn't you want your people to do what they can do?